Shall we not talk about the weather, Ray? Okay. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray's producing and engineering the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to this Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, June 16th, 2016. Hope you've had a good week. We are coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and we live stream the show at KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. And then thanks to my fine assistant, Rosemary Brandt, who posts the show. We get up our podcast. So we've got pretty much all of our programs archived over the last 5.5 years. The live line number is open 790-2040. If you have any questions or concerns about county pavement, road jobs, we want to hear from you. 790-2040. We have a direct pipeline to the lady that heads up the Pima County Department of Transportation. She is with us, Priscilla Cornelio. Priscilla, how are you?
I'm doing good today.
Great to see you. At 12:30 today, we will have the Department of the UA Economic Forecaster from the Eller College, Dr. George Hammond, will join us, kind of our mid-year assessment of the Tucson economy, things starting to look up a little bit. And, of course, we'll round out the show with being pool season, something very important to talk about, pool safety. The owner of a company called CPRTU, they do all the training pretty much for the Heart Association and other groups here in town. We'll be hearing about pool safety. So, as usual, a very full half hour. So, let's talk about the county road situation. We were talking before we went on the air, Priscilla, there is approximately 1,800 miles of pavement that
Absolutely.
You are responsible for.
That's right.
That's huge, bigger than a lot of states.
It is. It is. But as you consider that we go, our roads are from here in the Tucson area all the way out to Ajo, which is like a 3.5 hour drive to get out there, that we have a lot of distance, a lot of roads to take care of.
When you tell folks, and I'm sure this comes up, people ask, hey, what do you do? What do you do for a living? And you say that you head up the Pima County Transportation Department. I'm in charge of the roads. How often do people say, why are our roads in such horrible condition?
Well, quite frequently. I actually went to a cocktail party a couple months ago, and somebody found out that I was with the Department of Transportation, and the person got really livid with me and talking about the bad
health. Got nasty.
Yeah, she did.
Mm. And what'd you say to her? I mean, well, you probably didn't say anything to her because she was kind of nasty. But normally when people say the roads are bad, what do you say?
Well, it's unfortunately, but I have to agree with them. Yeah. Over 60% of on the Pima County roads are in poor or failed condition. And, I mean, that's quite a number of roads. And although we've had a great program in the past for widening roads, we unfortunately were not able to keep up with maintaining the roads. And they have deteriorated, and they're in bad shape.
When did it start?
Well, I think I became the director in 2006, and that was like our top year of revenues that we got in, and after that our revenues kind of tanked. Actually, we are receiving the funding that we get, our gas tax revenues, and we today are getting less today than we got 10 years ago. And we have about the same number of miles of roads that we maintain. And obviously, we don't have the same buying power due to inflation as we had a number of years ago.
What can be done? I know your budget is limited. You've got, basically, it's like, what, $100 million, and half of that goes to operating.
Correct.
That doesn't go very far. When you think about what it would take to bring that over 60%, up to 100% in good condition, we're talking billions of dollars, probably.
Well, one of the things that we've had done some analysis for the county administrator, and we estimate that we need $300 million to fix our roads to bring them up to fair condition. So that's a lot of money. And I frankly sometimes think we've dug ourselves in a hole. I don't know what the answer is.
So how do you prioritize?
Well, obviously, first of all, I don't have much money that I'm given to do what I call pavement preservation. So most of our expenses that we're doing are on potholes. Mm-hmm. And I just this morning gave a presentation, and since for the past 4 months, we've fixed 50,000 potholes.
Really?
So, but a year ago, it was 100,000 potholes. So I take that as a sign that our roads are in a little bit better shape, that we're not getting, we've gotten a little bit ahead of the pothole situation. But we really need to do some pavement preservation, and we haven't. This current fiscal year, I have no money to do pavement preservation. And pavement preservation is to go in and do like a 2-inch overlay of asphalt to take care of the roads, to protect them.
One of our friends has just emailed me, one of our listeners, wondering why is there no money for road preservation? This person asked me to ask you, how can that be justified?
Well, the problem is the legislature has been sweeping our monies for quite a number of years. As I said, in 10 years ago, I had more money than I have today. And one of the reasons, it's the legislature, they've been sweeping several million dollars off the top, monies that we would have had to be able to do, take better care of our roads. So that's the unfortunate situation.
So there's this HERF, Highway User Funds.
Right.
Where does that money go?
That's the only money that I have.
That's the only money you have.
Right. And we pay for the salaries for all the people in the Department of Transportation, mm-hmm. as well as we have, I have 100 people, in our section doing roadway maintenance. So they are out doing vegetation control and fixing the potholes that mm-hmm. we have, as well as repairing medians, if guardrails that we have to take care of. And then, again, our medians and cutting down the vegetation where we have site visibility issues. So that's what our guys are out there doing.
All right, let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. I believe Ingrid is with us at 790-2040. Ingrid, how are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. Hope everybody's well there, too. Ms. Cornelius, who is supervising the repair of the potholes? Who is monitoring the mixture of ingredients they're using to put into the potholes, the temperatures, the pressure that's applied, the timing of all these steps? Is there a supervisor who's watching? Is there a supervisor who comes back later? I have seen stuff go on that I just can't believe, with workmen throwing their beverage cups around and laughing as if this is all a big joke, and then the next thing you know, the hole is back. I'll hang up before I rant any further.
Okay. All right. So, in other words, the job, the pothole repair, does someone come back and kind of monitor what happened?
Yeah, absolutely. We have our supervisors. We have different crews, and they have a supervisor of the crew, and then we have people who are out there.
So they're not just out there
by
throwing material in a hole and stomping around on their, packing it down with their feet.
No.
Okay, so this is... You have supervisors.
Well, we have supervisors. And in addition, we do contract out for outside people to also assist us in our road repair for doing like a lot of potholes, which helps us because we don't have to staff up with folks, but it's about $2 million in additional work that we're doing using outside contractors.
And they have their own supervisors.
They have their own supervisors. And we are checking.
And then you check the their work.
Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Let's go back to the live line. Matthew, 790-2040. Hey, Matthew.
Yeah, I appreciate your caller's knowledge and expertise, and it's mind-boggling to hear the level of disrepair. And my thing about it is, have you talked to the city about how they use their $100 million that they bonded for the city to fix repairs? Have you talked to the city with regards to is there any way we could jointly take advantage of the cost savings that the city has received from their programs. Like I said, it sounds to me like we are looking for an answer out of the box.
Okay.
And so I'm just asking, I know the city's had tremendous success because of their bonding. Have you talked to the transportation director at the city about the county's situation?
Okay. Thank you, Matthew. How is your relationship then with Mr. Darrell Cole, the transportation director of the city?
Our relationship is very, very good. And I will say that monthly there's a meeting, and we call it the DOT directors. And it's not only for the city and then the county, but we have ADOT and the town of Marin and Sahuarita and Oro Valley.
So all the local transportation.
And we have breakfast
folks
together.
Get together and go over this. Matthew brought up a point about maybe, I don't know how that would work, I guess, in buying materials maybe for the city and county together. Maybe you get more of a discount if you buy in bulk. I don't know. I'm just...
No, yes. Yeah. We
trying to think outside the box, right, which is a good point. Yeah.
We are able to use the procurements that contracts that other agencies have. So mm-hmm. we've done that in the past, and getting some materials as well as buying equipment and things like new trucks and things like that. But one of the other things I should mention, we have an intergovernmental agreement,
right,
IGA, between the city and the county, mm-hmm. as well as we have one from Marin and Sahuarita, in which we share resources. So as an example, the city is building a road and they need help and somebody to do the inspection of the construction of the road. And so instead of them hiring new people, and Pima County kind of, we are a little slow, we put our people on the city jobs to inspect their roads. And we have used city people on the county, vice versa. So we all work very, very carefully and closely together. And we also follow the same specifications. So that what we use in our roads is identical to what the city of Tucson uses in theirs.
All right, we're going to take a break right here at 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about county transportation. Also want to have the transportation director explain the Michigan Left, which a lot of people are still kind of confused about. We'll be right back.
With a little humor and whimsy, Tohono O'Toole is honoring the environmental significance of bees and National Pollinator Week with their Adopt a Bee campaign. It's estimated that 90% of all flowering plants depend on animal pollinators to help them reproduce, and that includes about 35% of the world's food crops. Join them in raising awareness of the importance of these little creatures and their contribution to our local and international food economy. With your adoption, you'll receive an exclusive invite to their pollinator party on Friday, June the 24th. Meet your bee and enjoy locally distilled Three Wells Tequila and Whiskey Del Bac. Sample the Garden Bistro's inventive food creations using bee pollen and honeycomb, and try the regional honey bar by Dos Manos Apiaries. Appreciate the beauty of the gardens as musicians perform Flight of the Bumblebee. Adopt your bee today and join them on Friday, June the 24th for a pollinator party. For more information, visit tohonochul.org. That's tohonochul.org.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1221. Priscilla Cornelio has been the director of the Pima County Department of Transportation for the past 10 years, and her father was very much involved with transportation in the District of Columbia, and she grew up as a little girl going to his office and, I don't know, playing with the, looking through his plans for roads, and that really where it all started, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I grew up, I never knew there was something in life to be other than an engineer.
Yeah. Do you like to garden?
Well, you know, I'm thinking I need to get into gardening.
Well, I've got just the place for you, Green Things, which is one of our fine. Yeah, right off River Road. You know about that. It's right just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and just a really beautiful facility on 13 acres over there. They've got it all.
And we've put up signs on the road saying Green Things so they can get there.
Yes. My friends at Green Things, thank you for that. Just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, the official address, 3384 East River Road, greenthingsaz.com. And they do Saturday and Sunday, they're doing these 10 a.m. free workshops. And people actually ride up on horseback because it's right there by the river, the Rito River Walk.
Yeah.
So people can ride up by horseback. They can walk into Green Things. But I suggest you bring a pickup truck because you're going to need it for all of the things you're going to purchase at Green Things and all the great pottery. Anyway, thanks to Green Things. They do a great job. During the break, had another email question from a listener. Would it be cheaper just to contract the whole road building road repair department rather than even have it as part of Pima County?
No, I don't think so. It helps to have your own folks who are working for you, and you don't have to go through getting a contract, making sure you have enough money in the contract and those sort of things. And I have our guys, and we have really good crews, and they're people who really care about their roads, and they know the roads. And so if I have a problem and I call up one of our head of our operations people and say, we got a complaint at such and such a location, they know it exactly.
724-6410, that's your pothole repair line?
Yes.
Yeah, 724-6410. That's a number you should write down, because if there's a pothole in your area, call it in. And that takes us to our next call from Lauren, wondering about vehicle damage from potholes and perhaps compensation. Hey, Lauren.
Good afternoon, Bill. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, my question is, if a vehicle owner sustains damage to his vehicle with direct result from the pothole, I guess you have to prove it, but when you go get the repairs done at the garage, is there any funding that will compensate for that?
Okay, thank you.
So the way we work it, and I know the same as with the county as well as the city, we have to have notice of the pothole. So, I mean, the courts have ruled several times years ago that unless we have actually notice of a pothole, because we have over 1,800 miles of roads that we're maintaining, we can't know wherever we have a pothole issue. But if somebody has brought it to our attention and we did not repair it, then the county is responsible.
I did not know that. Okay, so another good reason to call if you have a pothole in your area, 724-6410, and document it when you called it in and the whole thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, Lauren has been waiting. Hey, no, Eric is next. Hey, Eric.
Yeah, good afternoon. Director, I heard you say earlier when Mr. Buckmaster brought up the issue of, well, it's money and bad roads are the main issue here. I heard you say that, frankly, you don't have the answers. I mean, if you're the director of transportation and you don't have the answers, wouldn't it be correct to step down and let somebody step in that would have answers?
Okay.
Some ideas?
Eric's question about you don't have the answers.
I have answers for, it depends on the question, obviously. Yes. No, about transportation, I hope I do have the answers. And I like to explain people what we do with the Department of Transportation, how we try to make our roads safe for the traveling public. And it is a big, responsibility. As I said, over 1,800 miles of roads that we have to maintain, and I have less money than I had 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think, in all fairness to you, Priscilla, I believe you were saying, as far as money, more money coming in, you didn't particularly have the answer how to increase that money.
That's exactly right.
Not that you don't have the answer to a particular road problem.
Right. I mean, the easiest thing, which we've said numerous times, I wish the legislature would raise the gas tax. Mm-hmm. We've had the same level of our gas tax at 18 cents a gallon for over 25 years.
All right. There are some road construction projects that are currently underway, Sunset Road and the bridge?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you remember in 83, if any of your listeners were around back then, that there used to be Sunset Road used to cross over to Silverbell between I-10 and Silverbell, and it washed away. Mm-hmm. And we have the monies, thank goodness, thank you, the Regional Transportation Authority. And if you happen to drive down Silverbell and you look over, that you can see it's all under construction to put a brand new bridge there.
Valencia, Mark, DeWade.
Right. That's, again, down on the south side, and we recently widened that particular project to four-lane divided roadway. The biggest issue down there used to be drainage, and the black wash would come in there, and you got a little bit of rain, like during monsoon season, and the road would close down. We have now widened it, four-lane divided roadway. It's all weather access because we took care of all of the drainage. And then we have under design right now, so we're going to take that project all the way out to Ajo Way.
Explain this Michigan left, the Michigan turn.
Right. Pima County, we built one up at Oracle Road in Ina.
How's it gone with that?
It's gone very, very well. It's been very successful. We used to have backups of traffic that were over a quarter mile long, mm-hmm. as people trying to get through there. And we're able, with the Michigan left, which is you drive through, make a U, and right at the light. Mm-hmm. And you have to kind of keep that little mantra in your mind. And if that works very, very efficiently, and we move a lot more cars through the intersection, I saw like a 40% increase in efficiency.
All right. Back to the live line. Robert has a question about the gas tax. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Bill. For your guest, if we pay plenty in gas tax already, if the gas tax was increased, mm-hmm. how can your guest be so sure that it would trickle down to our roads and not stay Maricopa County.
Okay, good question.
I didn't hear all of it there.
He's concerned that, we do increase the gas tax.
Right.
He's worried that most of it would be siphoned off to Maricopa County.
The way that it's by law, it dictates how the gas tax revenues are allocated out. So we have the gas tax statewide, and a portion goes to Maricopa County, portion comes to us, and it's on half population, half on fuel sales. And so that's the way by law it's all allocated to, like for Pima County. I know that there have been discussions, maybe we can revise that allocation formula, that Pima County might get some more monies. And again, it's something that's got to go through the legislature, and it would be, I would sort of think, a fight with, there got to be, we all can't be winners if you try to change the allocation formula. Somebody's going to lose, and somebody like Pima County could win.
All right. Going to have to wrap it up at Colossal Cave Road and Wilmot Road, Sahuarita to I-10, a couple of other big projects.
I think one of the ones that the Wilmot Road from Sahuarita to I-10, it's a dirt road.
Okay.
And with RTA monies, we're paving the dirt road. And if you go out there, there's nothing. And guess what? It's like build it and they will come. A big-time developer is coming in, starting the plat process, development process. He wants to build 300 houses off of Wilmot Road. So it's really, truly, build it and they'll come. And this all-new development, which is great here for Pima County.
And I really am out of time, but one last quick question about trespassing signs. What's that about?
Well, real quick, a lot of people were selling newspapers in our medians. And up in the Northwest area, there were a lot of concerns about people. We were concerned. You have people and the traffic's going all by 50 miles an hour, and folks are trying to stop and sell the newspapers. And the Board of Supervisors put in a law, an ordinance, that we have no trespassing for anybody in a median. And 33 intersections have already been signed, and it's been great because all of the newspaper sellers have moved off of the medians.
All right. Priscilla Cornelio, thank you very much, Director of the Pima County Department of Transportation. Quickly, the number is 724. You might want to write this down. This is for pothole repair, 724-6410.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. We'll have you back again. A lot of interest in this topic, obviously. Thanks.
Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with the director of Tucson Water. Our Friday roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Dan Scheer of the Green Valley News. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch, all happening during the noon hour on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Buckmaster Show. Joining me now in studio, Dr. George Hammond. Dr. Hammond, director of the Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona's Eller College of Management. Dr. Hammond, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
I understand there's some breaking economic news.
That's right.
Share with our listeners, please.
Yes, we just got the May employment data for Arizona, Phoenix, Tucson. Job growth in Tucson was strong again. We added over 12,000 jobs over the year for a 3.5% growth rate. That's roughly double the national rate of growth at 1.7%, and faster than the state rate of growth at 2.7%. And for the first time in just over 5 years, we added jobs at a faster pace than did Phoenix.
That is big news. Everybody's pointing to Phoenix. Oh, they're so much better than when it comes to this area. But this is the first time in 5 years that we have outpaced them.
That's right.
Overall job growth then is looking much better.
It does look better. But one thing you want to keep in mind is that this is the preliminary data. And
okay.
Over the past couple of years, that preliminary data has initially looked stronger than it was once we got the final revised numbers. So I do think that Phoenix is that Tucson is growing faster than we have over the past couple of years. You know, we only generated 0.8% job growth last year. I think we're doing much better than that. But we do want to keep in mind this data does get revised and is often revised down a bit.
The job growth is where? What are the strong sectors?
Yeah, these strong sectors, both in May and really so far this year, have been education and healthcare. So healthcare has been big, as have financial activities, which includes bankers and real estate agents, and professional and business services, which is kind of a catch-all category. That includes accountants, lawyers, management consultants, as well as computer programmers, so the high-tech sector. And it also includes the call center sector. So a lot of those Comcast jobs that we've heard about over the past couple of months will likely show up in professional and business services.
We have seen job losses.
We have. The natural resources and mining sector has been losing jobs over the year. This is connected to the curtailments at the Sierrita mine in Sierrita. It's a major copper mine in the area, and they've announced that they expect to curtail activity this year.
What do you call your federal financial or fiscal drag? In other words, how the
the federal activity affects the local folks here, that's still a big player.
Right. We know that federal government activity and really state and local is also a big part of the local economy. You know, federal government activity is much more important to Tucson than it is for the state, the nation, or Phoenix. And that has been an issue during the past couple of years because of the impact of spending cuts related to the sequester and other budget cuts. And that's really weighed on Tucson's growth since about 2013. That federal spending locally continues to fall, but it's falling at a much slower pace than it was in 2013. So that's what passes for good news on this sector. We're seeing a little bit of fiscal drag, but not nearly as much as we have over the past couple of years.
The job growth that you have been talking about over the last month or so, does that reflect some good news stories here?
It does.
Caterpillar, namely, and some others.
Absolutely. Home Goods, Comcast, Caterpillar, that does reflect some of that good news, and that good news I think will continue as we look forward over the next couple of years. And I think we'll see, you know, most of the job growth remain in, you know, healthcare, professional and business services, as well as trade, transportation, and utilities. So, you know, I think we're going to continue to grow. I think we're going to grow a lot faster than we have over the past couple of years. So I think Tucson is on the upswing.
We have seen statistics showing Tucson's housing has been one of the slowest markets to recover from the Great Recession.
Yes, I think that is doing a bit better. We had about 2,200 single-family housing permits last year. I think that's headed up this year. And I think we'll be, over the next couple of years, gradually rise to the 3,600 single-family permit level. So overall, housing is going to continue to contribute.
And population growth, are we seeing any movement there?
I think we're still seeing positive population growth. I think we'll see that accelerate over the next couple of years as job growth accelerates and as people really around the U.S. become a bit more mobile than they have been over the past couple of years. That will translate into faster population growth statewide, and Tucson will pick up its share.
And the contraction in growth really happened all over the country. Folks just didn't sell the home and pick up and move like they have after when the 2008, when the market crashed, people just didn't move.
That's a good point. The part of the reason that residential mobility has fallen is because people were underwater on their mortgages. And as we've seen house prices rise, really nationwide, that means fewer homeowners underwater on their mortgage. As that process continues, we should see increased residential mobility and faster population growth.
What are some of the cautions, the red flag cautions that we should be keeping in mind with your forecast?
You do want to keep in mind that the forecast assumes that the U.S. economy continues to grow. So we always want to be on the lookout for things that might slow the U.S. economy down. And one of those factors might be significantly slower productivity growth than expected under the baseline, coupled with maybe, you know, imagine a disaster scenario with military conflict in the Middle East that skyrockets crude oil prices. Both of those would contribute to faster inflation, and that might bring the Fed, the Federal Reserve, into the picture, raising interest rates much faster than expected under the baseline. You add onto that somewhat slower global growth than we're currently expecting, and that would probably be enough to generate a pretty mild U.S. recession in the second half of 2016, and that would slow Tucson's growth as well.
And there is uncertainty, especially with the election coming up in a few days in Great Britain. I just saw some of the local polling now showing a 6 percentage point lead for exiting the European Union. So that's been picking up a lot of movement.
Absolutely. That would be disruptive. Mm-hmm. And more in tune with what's going on in Tucson, I think it's important to keep an eye on something like a major fiscal policy shock. Maybe the, you know, curtailment of activity at Davis-Monthan would be enough to really hit the Tucson economy relatively hard.
We had Senator McCain yesterday, though, on the show, and it looks good for the A-10, at least, for a while.
That's good to hear.
All right, George Hammond, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. And again, the headline out of our interview today, job growth in Tucson outpacing Phoenix for the first time in 5 years.
Yes.
And again, those are preliminary numbers, but hey, I'll take them right now at preliminary because that is good news. Thank you very much, George.
Thank you, Bill.
Coming up now on 1245 on Buckmaster. This time of year, we need to really keep in mind pool safety. That's our topic next.
Don't let the bees put a sting into your day. Call the professionals at Five Star Pest Control. We have options for you. We can either send them to bee heaven or we can remove the bees with their special equipment. Bee stings are the number one killer of humans. Call us and don't get stung. 886-0045 5-star-termite.com.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm a passionate traveler visiting more than 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 5 airlines flying to 18 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's going to be a scorching weekend. Good weekend ahead for the high country, whether it's Mount Lemmon or only 3 hours east of Tucson to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. The elevation anywhere from about a mile high, that's 5,500 feet, give or take, to about 7,000 feet in the Silver City area. So that sounds good right about now. And great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge, and many things to do like hiking in the Gila or just hanging out in historic Silver City. You can find out about the many places to stay and things to do by going to their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. That is a beautiful corner of the southwestern United States and the state southwestern corner of New Mexico. With me in studio, Bill Spurbeck is here. Bill is the owner of CPR2U, a local company that really is very much talking about and working with local first responders about safety. And also with us, Mike Smith. Mike is the manager up in Phoenix of the Central Arizona operations of CPR2U. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Well, thank you.
Great. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Bill, tell me a little bit about the growth of your company, and it really has been unbelievable.
Sure. CPR2U was founded in 2010. We went to a full-time status beginning in 2014. This year, as an example, we should reach about close to 13,000 people trained in our community, and that includes physicians, first responders. We're seeing right now, because of the start of summer, children taking CPR classes to become certified babysitters, and everybody in between.
Mike, is it difficult to learn this kind of what's been called the new CPR?
No, it's actually much easier today than it was years and years ago, where it used to be an 8-hour course. Now we can teach it in a 3-hour course.
And it was mouth to mouth in the old days, and now it is a chest compression. And a lot of that was developed by Dr. Avery over at the University of Arizona. It's really caught on.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. Bill, can you learn that relatively quickly, that chest compression?
Yeah, just a simple chest compression course. You can learn that in about 30 minutes. And what we're doing there is just kind of providing some time until first responders arrive on a scene, because eventually we do have to get some oxygen to the tissues. But for the first 3 or 4 minutes, chest compressions is the way to go. And there are a couple local agencies, that's all they're doing. Instead of going in and using advanced airway adjuncts and they're now doing chest compressions and putting an oxygen mask on somebody. And one of the local departments, actually, this is about 2 years ago, saw about a 38% increase in out-of-hospital arrests, which is quite amazing.
Do you bring your organization to groups and perhaps give a group demonstration?
Correct. We have a couple locations that are fixed here in Tucson, and like the name says, CPR2U, we do come to your organization and provide the training.
Can you explain on the radio basically how the chest compression works?
Sure.
Very simply, please.
Sure.
Yes.
On the adult, we try to compress between 100 to 120 times a minute, which is quite fast. If you divide and use the math, that's almost 2 compressions per second, and the idea is to circulate the blood with oxygen to the tissues. And that's about as simple as it gets.
Mike, how did you get involved in this business?
I recently retired from a career in the fire service and relocated to the Phoenix area. And some of my colleagues contacted me a couple months ago asking me if I would help start up the Phoenix operations with this company. And I agreed.
How about pool safety? What can you tell our listeners? What are the things they should be listening for right now and that can save some lives?
Well, probably the same thing everybody teaches in pool safety is the ABCs, adult
but
supervision.
Maybe we've heard it, but we can't hear it enough.
Yeah. Adult supervision, barriers, and learning CPR. Those are the three components of pool safety that everybody really needs to be cognizant of.
You know, another thing, Bill and Mike, that's very troubling, the message just doesn't seem to be getting out about don't leave the young ones unattended by the pool. We've heard about these scenarios. A mom or dad is watching the young one out by the pool. Say mom is there alone. The phone rings. She goes into the house thinking it will only be a second for me to answer that question or the phone.
Sure. And even more so with technology today, I catch myself doing this. I get up in the morning and say, hey, I'm not going to look at my phone from the time I leave my home till I get to my office, and I'm not even on the road 60 seconds, and I'm looking at my phone. So even more so now with parents outside by the pool. During my years as a paramedic on the streets, I had gone to a drowning where there was 35, 40 adults outside the pool talking and gathering, and we had the incident of the child drowning. So as Mike had mentioned, is paying attention to that child from the time the child, even adult, not just children, but adults. We do have adults that drown, is paying attention to that person. Somebody's responsibility is to watch that person from the time they get in the pool until the time they get out.
A child can drown in a very small amount of water.
Correct. You hear stories over the years of children near a bucket of water. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at an infant that's just starting to sit up, their head, in comparison to the rest of their body, is almost twice as heavy, so they can't pick their head up once it goes into that bucket of water.
Another troubling thing, Bill and Mike, are these folks that just don't get the message about leaving a child or an animal in a hot car.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for us as, you know, former first responders, mm-hmm. and now instructors. We try to get the word out through social media, and it just seems like every once in a while you're going to hear that event where a child is left and a parent goes in for what they think is just going to be a couple of minutes, and then we have a tragedy.
Can a citizen act on their own, Bill, in a case if they see something like that?
Yeah, they can, and in reality, they should. You know, the car temperatures, you park the car, run in the grocery store for 5 minutes, you come out, and it takes 10 minutes to cool it down. You could imagine just how fast that car and the body warms up. So the recommendation is, if you see something, a child stranded, contact 911. But if you have the resources, a rock or something like that, we need to get cooler air to that victim, because we overheat really quick.
How did you get involved in this? You're a former first responder, right?
Correct. Well, I started out back in the early 80s as an EMT, a firefighter, became a paramedic.
And where was that?
Here in Tucson, okay. With the Rural Metro Fire Department. Okay. Mike had retired from the Tucson Fire Department. Mm-hmm. Most of our instructors are either former, current, or retired firefighter paramedics. We have a couple gentlemen that fly on one of the local helicopters here in company. We have emergency room nurses that work for us and respiratory therapists. But I got involved in it back in the early 80s, and back then teaching the CPR class was 8 hours. Today it's 3 hours, and really realized as I responded to calls, the way to save a life and make a difference is to learn CPR. And 3 hours out of your life, and not having to say, I wish I would have done it, I wish that I've learned it. And it home to me about 2 years ago. My brother was at a restaurant here in Tucson, Las Margaritas. Uh-huh. Busy day, lunchtime on Mother's Day. He went into cardiac arrest, and nobody did CPR to him. So it even enforces that passion to me that everybody takes the time to learn the CPR.
Bill and Mike, we also hear these stories about people, they're dining out. This is a fairly common occurrence, food caught in someone's throat, isn't it, Mike?
Yes, and that's part of what in the 3-hour course that mm-hmm. will teach you the current standards is how to do the current and correct Heimlich maneuver for these folks.
Bill, can you explain that Heimlich maneuver? What is kind of the proper way to do it?
Sure. What we're doing is standing behind somebody. Now, mm-hmm. this is somebody that's choking.
Somebody's choking in a restaurant, right?
And okay. We have this universally...
or at home, choking.
Or at home, yeah. Right? They grab their throat. The first thing we're going to do is ask them if they can speak or breathe.
Okay.
If they can speak or breathe, they're still moving air, so they're doing okay. If not, we're going to stand behind them, place our hands right above the belly button, and push upward and inward. And what we're trying to do is produce an artificial cough, so we're forcing that diaphragm to collapse and push the air through the trachea, the windpipe, hopefully dislodging it. We have a sad story in our first responder community. 3 weeks ago, a off-duty firefighter was at home, mm-hmm. was cooking a bratwurst, and had that lodged, and he ended up unfortunately passing away because he couldn't
get
that out.
Oh my goodness.
It was terrible.
Well, I'm glad we brought that up too, because that's a very, very common occurrence.
Yep.
Okay, so where can people learn more about CPR to you?
There's a couple different ways. We have a website, www.cpr, the number 2, the letter U.com. They can see us on Facebook at Facebook/CPR2U. They can contact us at 520-400-8204. We do come out to the community. We do quite often have CPR, free CPR training with groups like churches, mm-hmm. the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts. We just provided a CPR training for the Civil Air Patrol in their annual boot camp of about 120 students. And being on the show here, if they want to contact us at 520-400-8204, we have a dozen free CPR courses currently scheduled. And just mention that you heard us on the Buckmaster Show, and we'll register you for the course and get you trained at no charge.
Bill Spurbeck, thank you very much. Mike Smith, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right, coming up this afternoon, more talk here, local talk for Tucson at 4 from 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. And then tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, and then the Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a different guest host every day. And then I'll be back on our Friday show on the Buckmaster program, and we'll talk with the new water director at Tucson Water. Timely topic, water conservation. Have a great afternoon and evening.